Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 235 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media. For the first time in a while, we are checking in with Lucas Giolito, who's still proudly wearing that B on his cap, which means that takes care of my first question, which would have been, where are you these days? So you are in Boston.
Yep, I'm currently sitting in Fenway Park. I'm, you know, a couple minutes late here because I had to find a room to come and sit in to be able to talk to you guys where I won't be disturbed. There's not a lot of space here. I'm all set up here in the women's locker room, but I don't think there's currently any female staff, so it's being unused, and I am locked in.
I bet you it's much cleaner in there.
Well, yeah, it's very clean in here. Yeah. Looks good to me.
Yeah, I've covered plenty of games up there at Fenway Park, and that is, let's just say it's tight quarters in both of those clubhouses, home and away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been good though. It's been good to be back up here. I was in Florida. The team opened, I think, with like the longest road trip of like any of the teams this year. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed down in Florida for that. And then when the team came back here, I came back up, got settled in, was here for the home opener, and I've been working, coming in early, doing all my PT and all that kind of stuff. And then sometimes I'll stick around for the game. Actually, most days I have stuck around for the game. Yesterday was a bit of a grind. I got here at like 10:30 in the morning, and then we had two extra innings. So I was like here for like 12, 13 hours.
Did you get paid by the hour?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Okay. We're not going to spend the entire time talking about arms and everything else, but we do have to get caught up since we haven't seen you.
Yep.
First of all, I don't see a brace that you're wearing or anything. Do you have a second scar? Like what transpired here?
The scar looks like my scar from original Tommy John.
Uh-huh.
It's right there.
Yep.
So I got the internal brace surgery. It's what they call it's like fixing the UCL rather than reconstructing it. So the rehab is very similar to Tommy John rehab, but things move a little bit quicker. I got my motion back very quickly, and I've just been crushing like shoulder program and forearm and BFR and all this cool stuff, just getting all this stuff locked in and strong and stable. I feel like I can do a lot more than what I'm allowed to do. So I think that's going to be the biggest challenge in this process, is the fact that I feel so good. I like legitimately feel like I could go out and play catch in probably like a week, but that's just not going to happen. I'm following the protocol, but at the same time, like trying to push the envelope as much as I can, because I'd love to come back sooner than, you know, what's projected. But, you know, it's a lot of people's decision, not just mine. So yeah, that's pretty much my life right now.
So are you saying that if it was up to you, your goal would be to throw a pitch in 2024 for the Red Sox?
Absolutely. Yeah. With how good I feel right now. I've had Tommy John already. I had Tommy John when I was like 19. And I remember like when you first come back throwing, you know, there's like times where like doesn't feel so good, times it does feel better, you know, you'll have little scar tissue releases, and it's like, I've been through all that before. So like, if it happens again, it's like, all right, whatever. Like, I've been through this. So there's nothing that's going to scare me, really. I know, you know, I was just doing like a grip strength test today, and it was pretty freaking good. So it's like, I'm strong. We're making a lot of progress. I got to shout out Brad Pearson, who I've been working with the Red Sox. He's been incredible. We've been getting after it every single day. And yeah, I feel like I'm making a ton of progress. Obviously, like, I have all my motion and everything. Like, so yeah, I mean, yeah, if it were up to me, I'd love to come back and pitch this year. I don't know if that's going to be allowed. But you know, it's good to have that goal in my mind, I guess. Like, that will keep me motivated.
Well, couldn't you, because this internal brace surgery it's fairly new, isn't it?
I think over the last like 5 to 8 years.
Right. Okay. So it's possible that since you had this in spring training that, yeah, you have a goal. And if the doctors and all the medical staff are saying, hey, listen, there's no risk if you throw a pitch in September any more so than if you throw one in February, then why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So that's the thing, is surgeons are generally more on the conservative side when it comes to rehabbing surgeries. So again, it's like you have to balance their expertise, the expertise of the physical therapists and trainers you're working with, and then your own feeling as well. So it's like find that balance. And so, you know, I'm just working within the parameters that are given to me and trying to make as much progress as I can. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of annoying everybody when I'm like going into the training room, like, come on, let's go play catch next week. But I don't know. I just feel like I could.
Good. Good. We want you to feel that way. I do want to take you back to our last time together. It was right before your first outing in spring training. You were talking about how great you felt, how excited you were, that mentally you were in a great, great place. Physically, what happened to you? Was there something troubling you at that point when we spoke?
No. No, I don't lie to you.
No, I know it. You don't lie to me, but was there something, you know, I mean, pitchers are always sore or whatever. So I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I didn't have anything going on. I felt very good. My velo was up. It was like up in bullpens and things like that. And then my first start went pretty good. There's definitely some things that were like a little weird. Like I was kind of coming across like this way instead of like being like this way. And we couldn't really figure out what that was. And I was trying to work on like getting behind my heater again, but I was throwing really hard. And the stuff was good. I made a grip adjustment in my slider. I was ripping my slider at a higher velocity. And yeah, I went out for that second outing. And it was kind of throughout that outing, I was like, oh, I actually do kind of feel a little bit sore today. But like, you work through that. And then I threw one pitch where it was like, that wasn't very good. And then
did you know right then that it was over?
No, I didn't know right then that it was over. Because I had something, I had a similar sensation last year that ended up being nothing mm-hmm. in spring training. So I do it in this spring training game. I'm like, I remember I was on the mound. I was like, is that like what happened last year or is this something else? And I threw another pitch and it was like fine. It was like 93 or 94. I was like, all right, I'm probably fine. Didn't feel great. But that's just like, I don't know. That's how I'm wired. I'm just going to keep going. And so then I come out of the game. It was against Buxton. I ended up walking him and I hit my pitch count for the day. So I came out of the game anyways, which is probably for the best. And then it was pretty interesting. Like all the initial tests were kind of pointing to one thing. I don't really remember what it was, but it didn't seem significant. And then I got an MRI. And then the MRI showed, oh, your UCL's damaged. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, it didn't feel that bad. It was like shitty, but like not that bad. But yeah, that's the way it goes sometimes. I mean, my Tommy John lasted me like 11 plus years before something happened to it. So that's a pretty good run.
Were you crushed?
initially, yeah, it was fucking brutal. Because it was for a lot of different reasons, too. Like, I guess one of the big ones, I guess, like, if I'm going to talk about myself only, was, like, for my personal career, I'm coming off of a shitty, shitty end to my season. You know, I basically, like, limped into free agency. I get this opportunity to come and really bolster this young pitching staff. And now I'm not going to be able to do that for a whole year. So that sucks. You know, it's like I'm trying to like revitalize what I can do out there. And now that's taken away. And then there's now going more into the team aspect. It's like this team signed me to throw a lot of innings for them. Like they need that. And now I'm out for the whole fucking year. That sucks. So yeah, it was definitely initially very brutal. Like it was a lot of different emotions. Like I felt almost like guilty, you know, like, you know, I came here to do this. I've always been healthy for, you know, most of my big league career. I never had like a significant injury and then boom. So that really sucked. But, you know, over time, I mean, you just kind of get used to what the new normal is. And for me, that is just doing everything I can to come back whenever they allow me to again.
Well, Lucas, you've been at the forefront. We've talked about this a lot over 3 years at kind of the forefront of having a kind of a mental stability coach, if you will, somebody that you flew into Chicago frequently to go over things. I imagine when something like this happens for the second time in a career, and you mentioned at this particular time where you were looking to kind of erase 2023 and help a franchise get back on its feet and the whole bit, like you can't internalize that. So how did you break through those emotions?
Well, I think just like leaning on things I've learned from the past, as well as the Red Sox, like organizationally. So I'm talking staff, I'm talking trainers, front office, support staff, the players around me. Like I felt so much love, like internally, where it was like almost easier to get over it, you know, because a lot of time you get injured, you're out for the year and you almost feel like removed. It's like you're like removed from the team. Sometimes it's like you're like an afterthought or whatever it might be. And I've like seen that before. It's not the case here. Like the amount of love and support I've received from my teammates, coaches, training staff, etc. You know, I'm developing really good relationships with so many people in this organization that are all showing so much support. So it becomes a lot easier to kind of get over like feeling sorry for yourself and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, it is what it is. Let me just move on and start focusing on the work and the task at hand because I want to come back strong.
That's great. I love hearing that. I'm a father of two kids and I always want to be there no matter what ages they are. Like what did your family, what were those conversations like?
I mean, my family's always supported the shit out of me. So, you know, it was a lot, you know, it was a lot of, you know, talking to my parents. It's like, well, you know, that Tommy John gave me a good run, man. Like it was a pretty good run on that thing. I got that surgery when I was 18 and it lasted this long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just feeling supported and everything like that. My parents, they drove down and caught the home opener and, you know, it was nice seeing them. Yeah, I mean, it sucks like watching the games and watching the team play and it's like, oh God, dude, I won't be able to be out there and help this team for another, you know, until after this season. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like crazy to think about because it's never been, I haven't been hurt like that. But at the same time, like I come here every day, I'm doing all my work. We'll see what happens, you know?
All right, more of the show coming your way, but a quick reminder that in the hobby, that's card collecting for you noobs. It's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. You know, we hype ourselves up, think that we could pull an Ohtani immediately, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. That is until now. Want to introduce you to Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know exactly what I'm getting. Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. So after your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded at Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process, it is accurate, it is fast, it is transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying or selling or trading or simply displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you simply have to check out today. So right now, you can actually get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/rose. And that is a crazy offer. We're talking 10% off a $400 slab pack. That is 40 bucks right there. Anyway, that is arenaclub.com/rose for 10% off your first purchase. Go enjoy. You know, there's been two main discussion points so far through baseball. It's been the uniforms and it's been the arm stuff.
Yeah.
Because in part because of the number of big names that are on the shelf for perhaps the entire season and all that. Now, on the Rose rotation, out of our six players that we have here, two position players, four pitchers. Congratulations. You've all had Tommy John surgery. One of you guys has had it to some degree twice now. Here is Tyler Glasnow. And he changed my perspective a little bit on this whole thing. So I want you to listen to this 1 minute clip on this. Your comment from a couple of years ago about the sticky stuff made its rounds again.
My only beef with why I like said all that was because the rule was changed in the middle of the season. And then the whole argument now is on the pitch clock. And I think it's like a multitude of reasons. The mentality I've had since I was in high school, like, was like, throw the ball as hard as you can all the time. That's the highest chance of you playing college, the highest chance of you playing pro. If you get hurt, we got good doctors. Like, that's been the mentality for such a long time.
So you wouldn't have changed one route of your path?
No, I wouldn't change it at all. You want to know, because the times when I didn't go after velocity, I didn't go after all that stuff, I had a 7.7 ERA. I've never been Greg Maddux. I've never been able to, like, in my life, I've never been able to, like, I've always struggled with command until, like, relatively recently, my last few years. I think the decision of throwing hard and getting hurt is going to win every single time. And the only negative side is lose time, you can't contribute to your team, and then you're out for, like, a year. Like, I think that's everyone is going to take throw hard, get hurt, make money type of, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, logically, that's just the choice everyone's going to make.
I saw a lot of nodding of the head.
Yeah, I agree. I agree for sure. First of all, the ball sticky stuff thing, like taking away in the middle of the season, was definitely an adjustment period for a lot of guys. And then the pitch clock and whatever. I mean, I don't think the pitch clock is the reason guys are getting hurt. I think you have guys that, okay, Spencer Strider, for example, right? He sits like 97 to 100 miles an hour as a starter for many, many innings every single year, right? It's going to go at some point. It is what it is. I mean, that's just our job. Like, we throw overhand. That's an unnatural motion. And now we have guys throwing overhand 95 plus for a lot of pitches, ripping sliders at 85 plus for a lot of pitches, and doing it every 5 days, and doing it over 150 to 200 innings. Like, unless you have like a gift from the gods, UCL, that is made of titanium, it's gonna go at some point. Or if you are a Greg Maddux type and you're dumping some sinkers in there at 89, 90, 91, 92, and just like moving around, and you know, you have nice smooth mechanics, you're not trying to throw hard, yeah, I'm sure you're gonna stay healthy. But I mean, come on, man, like, we're out here throwing as hard as we can all the time. Like, that's not good for you. It's gonna go at some point. And so I think that
you don't regret it. You don't regret anything you've done.
I say this to young kids a lot. My biggest regret from high school was not learning about proper arm care when I was younger. I did a lot of long toss, and I did like Jaeger bands and all that stuff. You know, shout out Alan Jaeger. You know, I think that his program really helped me like gain a lot of velocity for sure when I was younger. But like the stuff that I'm doing in the training room now, you know, when it comes to shoulder program, shoulder and scap strength and mobility, you know, when I was in high school, like my shoulders winged out like crazy, you know, and it's like stabilizing all that. Like if everything's healthy up here and moving well up here, you are going to take stress off of this. So that's my biggest regret. I wish I got into some of that stuff younger, maybe because if I got into some of that stuff younger, maybe I wouldn't have blown out in high school. And then maybe I would have been like 1-1, 1-2, 1-3 instead of 16th overall. But I was going to blow out. I was going to blow out at some point. It was going to happen. You know, maybe I could have lasted a little bit longer. I could have had a full senior year of like throwing 95 plus. You know what I mean?
So I guess the question is, what do we tell young kids? Like, is it to chase your dream and do whatever? And by the way, it's an elbow ligament. Like, you can walk around your life and be just fine. When you're playing football, you got to worry about this, or you got to worry about your knees, or you got to worry about your back. An elbow ligament, whatever. We'll be fine. We can do whatever. Mm-hmm. So do we just tell kids to go chase whatever, go throw as hard as you can, go spin the ball when you're ready, and let's go chase whatever dream it is or whatever financially you want to go after? Is that what we do?
That's what's already being done. You look at any facility that kids are going to train at. Like, it's, they're all over Instagram. There's like driveline clones. You know what I mean? Like, that's all pitchers are doing. I go to these facilities in the off season. It's plyo balls, throwing as hard as you can into a net, you know, throwing, you know, hitting your new PR of velocity, and then everyone's screaming and jumping up and down. Like, that's what it is. And then we're doing it too in spring training. We have the track man on for every single bullpen. So guys are throwing a pitch, looking back at the track man. Oh, okay. Like the shape on that. Okay. I gotta rip this way and try and chase more shape. Or, you know, it's like the last few fastballs of the bullpen, you know, I want to get my 95. I want to get my 94, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the nature of the game now. Like, we, you know, there's data for everything. There's metrics for everything. So that's driving a lot. You know, like you listen to Tyler talk, like, and you talk to him all the time. He's a stuffed pitcher. He got what, $150 million contract, because he has, when he's healthy, probably nastiest stuff in the league out of a starting pitcher, top five, right? At the least top five. That gets you $150 million contract, man. Like, you don't get $150 million contract by like sinking the ball at 90 and throwing 200 innings and staying healthy all the time. That doesn't happen. You get that, the big contract, by striking dudes out and being nasty. So that's how it works.
So we just have to accept it. Like, this is it. And even if it costs us some of the best pitchers in the game, that's it. Just we move on to the next, I guess.
Well, like, it will cost some of the best pitchers in the game like a year or a year and change if they get a full Tommy John, right? Like, I mean, it's just how it goes. I think right now we're just seeing kind of like, I don't know, it's like it happens. And it's been happening for a while. I think right now it's heightened because a lot of bigger name dudes are getting hurt at the same time. So, yeah, I don't think the pitch clock helps, by the way. You're adding a little bit more stress. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the reason.
Well, it's probably a contributing factor. I mean, just like everything is here.
I think like everything's a small contributing factor. You know what I mean?
I will say
Verlander
this.
Spoke on it. I saw Verlander speak on it.
He was great.
Yeah, he was spot on as well. Like, you know, talking about the baseballs, how the baseballs fly, how the baseballs feel. We've had to grip the shit out of these things, man, to feel like have some command. Like they get slick sometimes. It's crazy. So
I think Spencer Strider played it great. Signed his $75 million deal. And in the middle of it, that's when he's going to get his Tommy John, his second one, unfortunately, or this one, the UCL brace. I keep calling it UCLA brace. Maybe they should sponsor this thing.
This was his, he had Tommy John already prior.
Yeah. 2019. When? Yeah. 2019. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was his first ever elbow injury. So what I said earlier doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well, I mean, some guys it runs out or quicker. The warranty on the factory installment expired early on him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Otani, right? He got Tommy John surgery, and then he had to get whatever he got a brace. I don't know what he got. I think he got the brace, right?
Yeah.
Like so, but again, like it's guys that are like sitting 98, so that'll happen sometimes.
Boy, oh boy, the 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boosts, and so much more. So download DraftKings Sportsbook up now and use promo code ROSE, and you customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code ROSE only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right. Well, you know what? You sound like you're in good a place and have nice perspective in it. And it sucks that you got to watch baseball instead of play baseball. But
I do get to watch baseball in like the coolest place to watch baseball, though.
Yeah. Pretty neat.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Have you learned anything about yourself yet? Like in this, because the first time you were 18 years old, like you were at a different place in life. Now you've made it to the show. You've got a nice little second contract working here. Like, have you learned anything about yourself?
Have I learned anything about myself?
You know, now going through this a second time, or is it too early for you to have realized anything? Maybe it's your love for the sport that you didn't know you had because you were in the grind every day. I don't know.
I think considering where my headspace was with the sport, coming off the last couple seasons, I think that my love and appreciation for the game itself is definitely going to be revitalized when I come back next year. Absolutely. Because I'm sitting in the dugout like opening, like home opener, man, like going out there and we, you know, the national anthem and everything. And I was like, oh, dude, I wish I was throwing this game. Yeah.
How's Boston?
It's been great. Like cool just city. Moved in. Yeah. Yeah. Driving here has been incredibly awful.
For people that have never visited Boston, they have like six streets that come together. And I swear to God, four out of the six have a green light at the same time. They have to.
There's no grid system whatsoever here anywhere. It's just like this in circles. I got lost driving to the field my first day because I was driving in a tunnel. I lose GPS, and I didn't see the exit I was supposed to take. I miss it. I'm like, ah, okay, I miss it. Whatever. Like, no, that added 25 minutes. Missing one exit added 25 minutes because then I had to go up and around the entire city. When I leave Fenway to go to where I live, I have to drive backwards for like 3 miles and then U-turn and to drive back home. And then 2 days ago, I'm driving home from the field. And again, I'm in one of the little tunnel things. I'm like driving along. Donk.
No.
My front left tire hit a pothole flat. I pull off the side of the road, had to get it towed. Now they're working on my car. Oh my God.
Ugh. Have you ever changed a tire?
Yes.
Really? Good for
you. Yeah, 2 times in high school.
Okay. Never changed one.
Really?
No.
What, have you like never gotten flat tire?
Oh yeah, I have.
You just called AAA?
Hell yes.
Well, I do that now, but in high school I did. I was driving my mom's Prius and got a flat tire on
one of the canyons. Please don't tell
Sunset.
Me.
Sunset. It was on Sunset, like just past the 405.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you're like going into like Bel Air area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, or maybe I was coming back. I don't remember, but you know, it's like Sunset's like kind of windy and like, you know, and I got a flat tire, pulled off the side of the road, changed it, drove home. Like it was fine.
Okay. Are you a builder? Is that the most manly thing you've ever done?
No. That is the most manly thing I've ever done. I don't do shit else that's manly at all, actually.
Yeah.
But I can change a flat. It's not that hard.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it. I don't think at this age I'm going to start creeping into that direction. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just you just jack up the car and then you unscrew everything and put the new one on.
Oh, I've watched people do it. Yeah. Cheer them on. I'm a hell of a cheerleader. We just had Patriots Day this past week. Did you go and see the marathoners?
No, because I was here. We had a game at 11 in the morning.
Yes, you did.
So I was here and I had treatment and everything. But yeah, that was that for Patriots Day for me. I saw them running when I was driving home.
God, I can't imagine trying to drive.
It's the same day I blew my tire out of my car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was Monday.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
You pitched in that game a few years ago.
You got to bring that one up. AC brought that up too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Right. He was like, Gio, you pitched in this game. I was like, yep.
Not for long, Skip. Thanks.
Yeah, it wasn't a good one.
Thanks. So who are your, you're on a new team. Who are you bonding with? Who are your guys you're hanging with?
Well, it's all, you know, always starting pitchers, right?
Yeah.
Me and Pavetta are already boys because, we played together when we were like 19, 20, when we were the Nationals minor leagues. Other than that, getting to know a lot of guys. Chris Murphy, unfortunately, another guy that went down with Tommy John. He's from the LA area. I want to say Granada Hills, something like that. Yeah. But he's down in Florida. So mostly like video game, a lot of video game bonding. And then when I'm here at the field, just hanging out with the guys, we're doing a little like putting competition around the clubhouse yesterday. Cause generally I get here pretty early and I do all my stuff and then I'm done at like 4. And then there's like 3 hours until the game. So it's just like finding ways to keep myself entertained so I'm not annoying everybody.
Well, who are you winning putting contests?
I didn't win yesterday. We did a match play style where we move the cup around, and it's almost like it's like mini golf because, like, you know, we're like hitting it under the couch and stuff like that, like moving it around.
It is tight quarters in there, bro. That is a short course.
Yeah. Have you been in here since they redid it?
No.
Yeah, yeah. The clubhouse is very nice. I don't know about size. Like, this is my first year in here, but the clubhouse, like, locker room itself is very high quality, very nice. I mean, yeah, not the most room, but the food here has been incredible at home. They're really doing a wonderful job. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind hanging out here all day. It's been nice.
When the team's on the road, you just come in for a few hours, you get your work done, and then you head home, right? Because you're not going to make any trips, are you?
Yeah, I'll make trips for fun to, like, break up monotony.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, when the team's on the road, come in, do my work, and leave. So it's going to be a lot of free time in Boston. And then watch the game on TV.
Man, oh, man. That is a lot. That's a lot.
I bought cable TV for the first time in my life here.
Oh, you're going the opposite direction. Most people are cutting that.
It's just so I could get, so I can get Ness in to watch the Red Sox games.
Yeah. It's okay. It's probably an expense that you can write off. Just tell your accountant about it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I always wonder this because we just had tax day. Do you even know anything about your taxes? Or do you just, like, do you send stuff?
The bare minimum.
Okay.
The bare minimum. We get taxed in every state we play in.
Yeah. Yep.
So that makes it, like, if I were to do my own taxes, that would be a huge pain in the ass.
Well, no. I'm not asking you to do your own taxes, sir. You're in a different tax bracket. So what I'm saying is like, do you have to call all these states, or do they organize it where you're like, hey, Giolito, you pitched in Texas. Well, Texas, you know, there's no state tax. But you pitched in Georgia last year. So here's your sheet for Georgia. Turn this into your accountant. You like the rest of us schmucks?
No, that all goes to him.
It's all just set up.
Yeah.
You just have to sign it. You just have to e-sign it at the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of DocuSigns throughout the year, for sure.
Well, if there's one thing we've learned about Major League Baseball players, keep an eye on your bills. Check your bank account occasionally. And just make sure, in case you have an interpreter lying around.
Oh, man.
Just check. Did you guys even talk about that, even though it didn't happen in your clubhouse?
Do we talk about it?
Did you talk about the Shohei stuff?
Of course.
Yeah. Because
of course.
Glasnow's like, you would be shocked about the number of athletes who have no idea what's going on in their financial world.
There are tons of athletes that don't have any idea what's going on. I think that working with people that you can trust is important. I think that sometimes people can be too naive. Of course, like the Shohei drama and Ipe and all that stuff. Of course, it's a hot topic, so it's going to be talked about. Did you ask Tyler about it?
Oh yeah, and he said we knew something was shady because the minute Shohei found out about it, he was like, "Here, take my phone. Like, take whatever you need. I didn't know anything about this." Like, imagine it on top of it. It wasn't just his coworker. Like, that was his boy for a decade who did him wrong. That's what's screwed up about it.
Yeah.
And the fact it was $16 million. Wouldn't it be nice to not worry that, oh, am I missing $16 million? No, it's probably there. It'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean, if you never check, though, like, When you're in a fortunate enough position where you don't have to, like, look at your bank account, a lot of stuff can go under your nose, for sure.
Well, yeah, I get it. Now I'm the opposite way. I'm checking my shit like 3 times a week, minimum. Minimum. I'm saying, how the hell are we making it? Jesus, private school, college, holy shit. Yeah. Good catching up with you, man. I know you got a game you want to go check out. Go get another meal in you. Don't overeat. That's what I do when I'm just watch baseball. I just sit and don't do that.
Oh, I know, for real, dude. Luckily, I mean, the snacks and stuff selection here is, it's like, it's a very healthy clubhouse. So if I am going to go and snack and stuff, I can't really get into anything too bad.
You can always find shit. Always. You know that. There's somebody's always got a stash somewhere.
Yeah, Liam usually does, but he's not. He's still IL, so he hasn't reintroduced the candy bag yet.
How's he doing?
He's good. He's here just being annoying, as always, just doing his thing. And him spend a lot of time in the training room together.
Yeah. Are there people that don't get him at all?
You know what? I think he's very well received here. The clubhouse here, everyone is like, there's a lot of different types of guys, but everyone gets along really well. I really enjoy the culture here for sure. Like, just a lot of different types of personalities, but like, it's very positive environment.
Good. Well, we'll check in a couple months. We'll break up your boredom when they're on the road or something. We'll come say hello in between your games of Call of Duty or whatever you're playing these days. What are you playing?
Call of Duty, Valorant. That's really it right now. I should find like a nice single player game to do.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like an RPG or something.
Okay. That's your homework.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, it was good catching up. I'm happy you got a big old smile on your face. Keep doing that. They keep asking, how's Giolito? Well, now we know how Lucas Giolito is doing. So it was good seeing you, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Chris.
I appreciate it. For our awesome producer, Robbie Scirocco, and Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox, I am Chris Rose. We will see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.